following program may contain material that is inappropriate for children or your workplace.
The following production of the Bang Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
Bang Radio.
Bang! Bang! Bang!
Gobble gobble on this, man.
Do the bang thing. Do the bang thing.
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
Hey, Browns. Mike Polk, season ticket holder. You are wasting valuable space on our majestic shoreline, and what do we get out of it from you? 10 miserable games a year, including 2 preseason games that I have to pay for, and 1 shitty Kenny Chesney concert.
Where does Tom Brady rank on your all-time list, Troy Aikman?
Well, he's awfully hot.
I think Troyton's a queer.
Hello.
13-year NFL vet, Super Bowl participant, 6-time Pro Bowler, Donovan McNabb.
I've been just going home.
Bacon. You know, brothers, you know I'm bacon.
I got
you know
them.
I love bacon.
You're going
to
love this.
Bacon.
As a white man, I have to take a stand. I remain outraged.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop it.
I'm going to whip my ding ding out.
And now, here's John and Tom.
A lot of time airing it out, looking for. Get it! He's got it! He's going to go! Touchdown! 74 yards. Newton is going long and right. Ted Ginn grabs it. Ted pulls away. Touchdown! Ted Ginn Jr.
They can't run with him.
You cannot run. That's the same play he scored on last week. But who threw the ball again? Must have been. My goodness, Cam Newton, you're absolutely beautiful.
Carolina goes for 13-0, beating Atlanta 38-0.
I don't think anybody saw this coming.
You know what I noticed this week when I was thinking about all that?
What's that?
I haven't heard from Mercury Morris yet.
Oh, they've talked to him.
Who has?
Oh, ESPN? Just a couple people in the media. Yeah, they talked to him. He's like, oh, he was the same. Dude, you could have replayed the same conversation that they had with him in 2007 talking about the Patriots. The same exact conversation.
Thanks for dusting me off, fellas. Let me get my notes out.
Oh, wait. Somebody's 13-0. I'm relevant. Hello.
They should talk to Don Shula.
I had 13. Yeah, well, that was fun. Well, just tell you what, you know, I tell you.
I'll tell you this. I will say this, man. The NFL is the one place where you can get the Big Ten and the SEC together in harmony. It's the only place.
Oh, dude, it's like ebony and ivory.
Oh, my God. Cam Newton to Ted Ginn, those were ridiculous.
How many passes would Ted Ginn have caught? I mean, how many touchdowns would he have if Ginn catches them? We heard these latest highlights that we had here, but we've missed the last 2 weeks where Ginn's dropping balls that would have been touchdowns left and right. I bet you, now not having watched all the Panthers game, I can tell you I've seen him drop at least 4.
Yeah.
Like 40-yard touchdown plus or 30-yard plus touchdowns.
He was prior to like these last 3 games, and now he's been catching everything, and I don't know what happened. What changed, but I don't know if they worked out something or what, but it's well, and even when he was dropping them, they were still winning, so it didn't matter. I mean, this defense is ridiculous, you know.
It is.
So
Cam Newton is ridiculous, but the fact that he was dropping so many passes, I think I know what happened. I think Cam Newton, you know, said, you know what, I'm 6'5", 260 pounds. You, little runt boy, you catch these passes, or I'm going to dump a gallon of Oikos freaking yogurt down your throat for everyone you drop. See how much protein you can handle.
I'm sorry. That was my sister that dropped that one.
No.
And my cousin, you know, you didn't just get me. You got the whole Ginn family. And they can't catch.
Don't be a faggot. Catch the ball.
Every once in a while when you throw one to me, I'm there. But most of the time, it's one of my no-good cousins.
Catch the ball, punk-ass faggot. Faggot, punk, bitch.
My Uncle Albert couldn't catch a cold. I don't know why you keep throwing it to him.
All right, leave Teddy alone.
Yeah. You know, see, this is one of those things. It's the Big Ten and it's the SEC. But how Ginn's been out of college now for what? This is like his 9th year, 8th or 9th year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the fact that he went to Ohio State isn't even relevant anymore. I can't stand about like Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football. They make them stand there and say, "Hi, I'm a 33-year-old man, and here's where I spent my college years, and that's what's important."
Right.
Let's fuck off.
Anyway, all right. I didn't want to get that. I didn't want to get that far into it. Anyway, I'm Tom. He's John. It's Bang Radio Hour number 266. And real quick, I want to give props to our leaders in the Pigskin Pick'em on ESPN's website. Hot Corey, John.
Hot Corey. Bow down to Hot Corey. He is our leader.
The great Corn Julio. Or as John Tillyard said, the great Corn Julio. he's got 115 right. I suck against the spread. I hate when I found out it was against the spread. I was like, oh, I'm terrible. I would never bet against the spread in Vegas because I'd be broke and homeless. And then we got a couple guys tied for second. Ding Thanks. That's I Am Sparks. And
what is his name? Ding Thanks.
Yeah. And Chow Please. That's Yisman.
Oh yeah.
Then we got cool. Gronk Gronk Bonk Bonk. That's Anadem.
Gronk Gronk Bonk Bonk. See, now, it's been such a weird year, man. I can't even remember where these jokes come from.
Well, Gronk, it's Gronkowski. Obviously, that's who he's talking about.
That, yeah.
And then a 40 and a cup of tea. And I think that was that joke you made a couple weeks back about Tillyard. He went from sounding street, you know.
Right. He was, what's up, bitches?
Right.
Or whatever he said.
So there's your top five.
He actually did an update last week, but we didn't do a show, and it's my fault last week. I was all of a sudden, I forgot about it.
Oh, I didn't know. Damn it.
I know. He put it up. I just didn't, you know. Sorry, y'all.
All right. Busy. And in the Eliminator Challenge, they're in first place, the great Corn Julio.
Damn. Dude's he's rolling this both. Week. He must, I mean, this, yeah, he must really want one of my, I have a brand new puppy. I'll send you one of his hairs.
I just heard him bark.
He leaves them all over the damn place. You can have a lot of them.
He's like, you ain't jerking this out of me. What are you talking about?
I don't need to. He leaves me gifts of them all over.
Right.
The place. Anyway.
All right. And then we got three guys tied for second. Nana Bayless's joy toy. That's Invader J.
Nana Bayless's joy toy.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
I tell you what, if my nephew or my grandson could be more like this dildo, ESPN would be so much better to watch.
And then also, there's Gronk, Gronk, Bonk, Bonk, Anadem again, and also tied for second. I know the National Football League.
wait, what?
And there's just several guys tied for fifth after that. So, all right, anyway, coming up, Belichick
I didn't notice my name anywhere in those.
No, I was doing good in the Eliminator, and then I lost like 3 out of 4. Anyway, coming up, Belichick ain't got time for your shit, John.
Oh, really? I'm sorry.
Yep.
keep a note there.
I was happy about this. Gilbert Arenas has taken the most hated man in the world title away from Greg Hardy.
Really?
Yeah.
What did he do? Holy crap.
Wait till I tell you about this. Bad. Yeah. You got Bill the Crying Browns fan. This guy's unbelievable. Odell Ambidextrous and a lot more. But first, we got to talk about the feud going on between Rodney Harrison and Josh Norman. Best corner. Josh, do you agree? Best cornerback in the league?
At the moment. I mean, the thing is, that's a fluctuating thing. Remember when it was Richard Sherman? No, it's not so much Richard Sherman anymore. But he's definitely shutting them down left and right.
Yeah, and Sherman does too, but to me, he is this year's Richard Sherman, I guess, you know, for lack of a better term.
I tell you what, I always like the cornerbacks anyway, because I think they're always out there on the island. They always get all the blame if they get beat, and it looks like they get beat a lot sometimes, and it's not their fault. But to be able to play cornerback in this league against players like that without being able to touch them or without being able to move them or without being able to do anything to them. You have to give them a freaking invitation when they come off the line of scrimmage. Did you know that's one of the new rules that they're looking to put in place?
Right.
You have to actually get engraved invitations and hand him one every play that he comes off the line of scrimmage, the wide receiver. To be able to play as well as Norman has been playing, my hat is off.
And they're going to give the receiver a head start while you go to the post office and get the invitation.
That's right. As a matter of fact, they're going to tell you the game is on Tuesday.
All right. So anyway, Norman gave up one TD. He gave up a touchdown in week one, and that's the last time he gave up a touchdown. This guy is ridiculous, man. I mean, he just Forget about it. Anyway, though, Harrison made this prediction. Rodney Harrison, you know, he used to play for the he used to play defensive back for the Patriots. He's got rings and a big mouth and
also known as the only sign of life on NBC.
Right. That's true. He also used to get called, we know he was one of the most fined players in history, but he also got, a lot of people called him like one of the dirtiest players in history.
The dirtiest, yeah. He won that award all the time.
Yeah, which is funny because then, you know, he comes out and says it about other players. And I'm going, dude, you got no room to talk about anything. But anyway, he made a prediction. Harrison did. He said, you know, because the Panthers just played Atlanta this past week. And he said that Julio Jones would beat Norman, that he was going to get over on Norman and put up some numbers. And Harrison also said that the Seahawks are more dangerous going into the playoffs than the Panthers are. So that got Norman's panties in a bunch. You know, it's like he felt
Norman, he felt
disrespected.
You unbunched your panties.
Okay, so what happened? 7 catches, 88 yards, but he wasn't even that good against Norman, talking about Julio Jones, because when he was actually covered by Norman, he was thrown to 6 times, caught 4 passes for 33 yards.
Yeah, even still, 7 catches for 88 yards for him is not that good this year.
No,
no. He's kicking ass, and they're scoring nothing.
I know, right?
I don't get it. And now Leonard Hankerson, right? Their third wide receiver there that caught a couple of eyes in the fantasy leagues because he caught a couple of touchdowns.
Yeah, former Redskin.
He just got picked up by the Patriots, so he's getting to go to a Super Bowl soon. He's like, hell yeah, baby. Get me out of this loser dump.
Right. God, they were 6 what, they started 6-0 and haven't won a game since, right?
Yeah, they were 6-0 and they have been, I think they've won one since then.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe not. I don't know. I just laugh like hell about him. I said one of my predictions a couple of weeks ago was that there was a poll that said that the residents of Atlanta think that sitting through Sherman's destruction of the city would have been better than sitting through the last 5 weeks of Falcons games. I tend to agree, you know.
Right.
They're pathetic. And I'm serious. When you watch their games, they have a penchant of getting down into like inside the 30-yard line and fucking it up. And when you watch Matt Ryan's face, dude, he's just as good as Eli Manning.
Yeah, well, who's going to the Super Bowl?
I think that's a foregone conclusion.
Oh, that is great.
That's Leonard Hankerson on the bus heading to Boston.
Oh, it's wonderful!
Dude, they're talking to Steven Jackson, too, although that was a day or two ago.
Right. Yeah, I heard.
But, I mean, that's the kind of guy that they would pick up for the playoffs who will rush for 500 yards in 3 games.
Exactly, yes. Because you know he's going to be motivated to win a ring, man.
Oh, hell yeah. Absolutely, dude. This is like the dream call. Really? Y'all want me to come in there and finish y'all out? Great.
All right, so anyway, back to Julio getting 7 catches for 88 yards. So what did Rodney Harrison say about that? Because he said that, you know, Julio was going to get over on Josh. Well, I couldn't believe it. Harrison goes, if the entire situation was equal, with Julio Jones having a quality quarterback throwing to him, then I think Julio Jones wins that matchup because I think he's physically more superior than Josh. Well, who's been throwing the ball to Julio Jones all year?
Yeah, really. He was leading the league. He was the leading receiver in the league. What the hell is he talking about?
Well, he must have got lucky. And, you know, really, if there's anybody who should be offended, it's Matt Ryan, because Harrison just said he's not a quality quarterback.
Oh, I said that earlier, so screw Rodney Harrison.
All right, so when the Charlotte Observer caught up with Josh Norman later that day, he said, you can insult my intelligence if you like. You can even insult my little puppy. But please, whatever you do, don't insult my talent level. That is one thing I will not let you do. Who's gone up against Julio and put him at a pedestrian number like that? If that's not a talent, then what is? And of course, John, because Twitter exists, Norman wasn't done. All right, so he took to Twitter, and he tweeted that Harrison was horrible at his job. And then this is the best part. He posts up a picture of David Tyree's catching that touchdown with his head in the Super Bowl against the undefeated Patriots right there, and he's catching it against Harrison. It's funny as shit.
I'm telling you. Didn't I say it last year at the Super Bowl? One of them ran his mouth, Chris Carter ran his mouth about, I don't know who he is, right? You don't talk shit when you're behind the desk. These guys have a way of taking your career and finding the moment that made you look the worst.
And they help us tremendously.
Yeah, they sure do. Excuse me, Biff Jenkins, Charlotte Observer. Josh Norman, you are stupid, and you have an ugly puppy.
Well, okay, so now these guys are like, I don't know if they're just... Let me go find a place where I can speak my turn, you know, because here comes Rodney Harrison. Rodney Harrison is on NBC. You know,
yeah, I know.
He's on friggin' a network TV.
NBC.
WNBC. Network television.
Say it right.
And what's he do? He goes on WEEI in Boston, where he knows everybody loves him, right? And he has this to say.
I don't give a damn about Josh Norman and what he thinks about me.
Okay, first off, before I continue, I want you to listen to him very carefully. Everything right there off the bat, he says, I don't care about Josh Norman. But you listen to the emotion in this rant, and you tell me, nobody has this kind of emotion when they don't care what Josh Norman thinks. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, oh, absolutely. He definitely gets pissed off. This dude's always been like this. That's why he's got the reputation that he's got.
All right, well,
he's a punk.
Here's what he had to say.
I don't give a damn about Josh Norman and what he thinks about me. He's playing football. Everything that he's trying to do, I've done. I've been in the Pro Bowl. I've been all pro. I played in Super Bowls. I don't care about that. I made money, so I'm not worried about what Josh Norman thinks of me. If he wants to use that as motivation, that's fine. I hope he goes on to have a successful career. I want to see young men make it. I want that.
Oh,
I don't hate Josh Norman. I don't care what he says. And yes, he's misinformed about the information that he's talking about as well.
Okay. Now, I didn't understand this part, and there's a little more to play, but I wanted to stop it there because he says Josh is misinformed about his information. Well, no, he's not.
Well, even still, I want to know why Rodney Harrison wants to watch young men making it. What the hell's up with that?
Gay!
Hey, we're going to have to stop you right there, Rodney. The Catholics in this town ain't going to fly for that one. Suddenly my Boston went Australian. Sorry about that. Josh Norman's thinking, you know, if only I could get to the Super Bowl and let some clown that's going to be selling tires in 2 years catch a ball right on his head in front of me and win the game.
All right, let's continue.
So it doesn't matter to me. That's the thing that he doesn't understand. And like I said, if he wants to make it personal, I'm not afraid of Josh Norman. We can always buckle up in the boxing rink and have a match, and once I knock him out, then I'll get up and give him a cold iced tea. It's all good.
All right, now wait a minute. You want to get in a boxing ring and knock this guy out, but you don't care what he thinks.
It's an internet battle, dude.
Oh,
it's just like
God.
One of those chat room fights.
You get in your car, and I'll get in my car, and I will meet you halfway, and I will beat your fucking ass. You hear me, Josh Norman? I don't care what you think, but that motherfucker, I will kick your ass.
You got to understand, I'm not even thinking about him. I'm just out here on the radio talking about him.
Right. But he ain't in my head.
I don't know why y'all keep bringing this up. Y'all told me we could watch some young men making it. Where's the movie?
Well, now Rodney Harrison fans are going to blame you and I. If you guys would stop talking about it, it would go away. All right, now, Josh, now, of course, Josh Norman's got to get on the radio and say, take his turn. And Josh, man, Josh says, and like I said, when I stopped it, and this was the main thing here, is him saying Josh, he's got bad information. Well, everybody saw you make the prediction, Rodney, and Josh says, Josh says this whole feud is simply about the truth.
It's truth. It's truth. And that's all it's about, the truth. I'm not trying to, like, put nobody's job in jeopardy or put their jobs on the line or nothing here, but dang. I mean, let's just report the truth about stuff instead of, like, the false information that you're giving off because of what you feel. No, let's go by what's really actually happening.
Right. Just tell the truth.
And, you know, the funniest part about all of this, if we're talking about anybody else, 4 for 88 is a damn good day for most wide receivers. You know that?
Well, he's 7 for 88, yeah.
Rodney Harrison's an idiot who doesn't realize that the way the world works now is that there's photographs and videos and of everything he says on television available 24/7 to anybody that wants it.
I know. I just don't know how you say something publicly, and then I don't know. The whole thing has gotten a little silly to me, but I think the biggest thing here was the insult that Rodney Harrison ended up giving Matt Ryan.
That was funny. I think the biggest thing in all of this is the fact that Rodney Harrison cried like a girl on WEEI and then challenged him to an internet boxing match.
I don't give a damn about Josh Norman and what he thinks about me.
Right.
I don't care about him at all. And if I was looking at him, I'd punch him right in his mouth. He ain't got the balls to step up. I know he's in the middle of a football season. That's what I'd say, too, if somebody was chumping me. But I ain't thinking about him. Let's talk about something else, like, you know, what I'd do to Josh Norman if he was standing right here, that son of a bitch. That's what I should have done to David Tyree.
We'll continue to follow that. So now I can't
stay on top of that, Tom.
I can't help but root for Josh Norman to go undefeated and win the Super Bowl.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And this week they play the Giants. Let's hope that they get a hold of Eli Manning and he pulls away in some kind of miraculous fashion and throws up a freaking prayer and Josh Norman picks it off and then runs down the sidelines with it and points it at David Tyree's television set.
Well, here's the one thing about Josh Norman. The one thing, John. He is going to have a huge impact on your life Sunday.
Oh, I know. He's going against my guy, man. I'm going for this championship. And see, this is the problem with fantasy football as I see it. It's not the gambling. It's not all that other stuff. It's the fact that I have to root for Odell goddamn Beckham Jr., a giant, a subhuman fucking giant.
He's pretty amazing, though.
Yeah, whatever.
I
hope he wins me a championship.
And, you know, oh, my God, here I was playing my wife who just a few weeks ago could have taken possession of Odell Beckham Jr. from you in a trade, and she decided not to go through and try and make it happen, and then he had that monster game, and you said, well, don't even try now.
Yeah, don't even call me up. That was Odell Beckham Jr. telling me that, John, you don't need a running back that bad. Stand on what you have.
Right.
It'll be okay.
Right, and here you are in your division championship.
I managed to pick up the I don't even know what his name is. Who's the guy that's going to start for the Seahawks this weekend? I got him, and I got Fozzie Whitaker, who's taken over in Carolina.
Well, I think Fozzie is, because you had Gurley Thursday night. He had he had a real good game for you, but I think Fozzie's going to be your better option there. I think, because I don't know, you know, they do have Fred Jackson in Seattle as well.
Well, I've still got Matt Jones, who, even though he's had fumbling problems, they decided last weekend that they're going to make him the guy, and they're going against the schmuck Buffalo defense. But, I got options. Mostly I picked them both up because there's only two teams left in the league besides you and me, and I'm not going to let any one of y'all have them. Fuck it.
I understand. All right,
I'm
so,
just going to hold on to them for a while.
But you need to win your division championship. I need to win mine, and then we can meet in the bowl game next week, and that'll be fun.
That'll be
fun for the podcast. All right, let's move on to Bill Belichick. You know, a lot of people, John, they just hate Bill Belichick. And I see where it's coming from. Some people are just jealous. They can't stand winners, or, you know, it's the way he is in his hoodie and the way he talks. But I find it impossible to hate the guy. Every week, I look forward to his post-game press conference now. And this was actually from week before last. And I don't know if this guy's from Australia, maybe. You listen to him when he's going to ask Bill Belichick about a punt in the game, and specifically the way this guy punts. And I don't know. Well, here, let me play it, and then we'll analyze it. We will analyze what Bill Belichick says.
I will make comments.
You will, yes.
And specifically on that play, execution-wise, you know, it's a rugby-style drop kick. Was he supposed to put air on the ball so it's a jump ball, or was he supposed to hit it along the ground like a typical onside kick?
I mean, we don't have time for all that.
Wait a minute, this dude flew from all the way down under in Melbourne to come up and ask about their kicker.
You know,
Bill Belichick threw me out on my arm.
Well, I don't know. Again, that's not an Australian accent. He sounds like somewhere in Europe. He's got to be somewhere like England or something. But, okay. I mean, I honestly, I think Bill Belichick was listening to the guy talk, and he understood most of the words, but I really don't, more than the accent confusing Bill, I think Bill just didn't know what the fuck he was talking about.
I don't think he gives a fuck that much about the kick.
It's well, like, dude, right.
They do the kickers, the head coaches don't ever go talk to them. They don't give a fuck. Just do your job. You got two things to do. Kick it off and put it through the uprights. Punters, kick it where it's supposed to go. You know,
here we are in December, Bill. What do you think about the kicker?
I don't really care about, you know, some midterm grades.
I'm going to give the kicker a D for do your fucking job and get out of my face. All right. I don't want to see you unless you're coming off on the sidelines to give me a high five.
And specifically on that play execution-wise, you know, is a rugby-style drop kick. Was he supposed to put air on the ball so it's a jump ball, or was he supposed to hit it along the ground like a typical onside kick?
We don't have time for all that.
Yeah, we don't give a shit. Somebody give this guy a spot of tea.
I love him. I love Bill Belichick.
We don't have time for all that.
I know you don't. He's fantastic.
Was he supposed to kick the ball high and put a little air under it there? Was it supposed to turn round? Was it supposed to spin in a counterclockwise fashion? Was it supposed to drop out of the sky like it was a dead pigeon? What was it? Was it supposed to bounce when it hit? Which was it supposed to bounce to the left or to the right?
Well, what do you think?
Well, it looked to me like it was going to get a scram once it landed on the ground, but then I remember the old play with your goddamn hands.
We don't have time for all that.
Right. He didn't want anything to do with that guy, man.
No shit.
All right. Well, so while we're on the topic of the Patriots, you know how we always talk about Brady? Constantly trying to get calls from the ref, you know, get a defensive penalty against him. You know, all the time campaigning for those penalties.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And all the time Patriots say, oh, he's not as bad as most people. He doesn't do it any more than blah. Okay, well, he gets asked about it, all right? And this was in regard to a hit he took the week before last. And first they're going to ask him about concussions, and he doesn't want to talk about concussions, which is interesting.
Of course not.
But then listen to what he says.
How many concussions do you think you've had over the years?
I'd really not like to get into that.
Okay. But you thought the guy did hit you in the head?
I was just, you know, I'm always trying to get some type of call from the ref. I mean, I don't think I got one all year.
What?
Other than the one on Vaughn Miller, but I'm always, I would say, lobbying the refs for stuff. I mean, whether I get it or not, I don't know.
He just admitted it. I'm always trying to lobby the refs for a call. He admits it.
Absolutely. And you know what? He ain't the only one. In fact,
no. They
all do it.
I know. And they're
He's
supposed
just on
to.
Camera all the time.
You want them doing it. So stop it. Stop defending him when he does it and he admits it and they all do it. It's like he's no different than any of the rest of them when it comes to that. Obviously, he's a much better quarterback than the rest of them. But when it comes to that, he's just like the rest of them.
Mr. Belichick, Biff Jenkins here, Charlotte Observer. It's rumored that Josh Norman is stupid and his dog is ugly.
We don't have time for all that.
All right. All right, so you want to know why Gilbert Arenas is the new most hated man in the world?
Please, because it sounds to me it's like the British punt analyzer there. Or no, it was an onside kick he was asking about, right?
Hold on. I thought it was about a punt.
And specifically on that play execution-wise, you know, is a rugby-style drop kick. Was he supposed to put air on the ball so it's a jump ball?
A rugby-style drop kick.
Yeah, I guess it's an onside punt.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
It's an onside punt.
What do you think?
Oh, hell.
It's a drop kick. Is it supposed to get some air under it? Is it supposed to hit them right in the hands? I don't understand.
I think Bill's like, I don't even know what play he's talking about.
Which, is this the way to the Sea World? I think I seem to be lost.
All right, come on, let's get to Gilbert Arenas here. NBA star Gilbert Arenas, well, I say NBA star, but he actually doesn't have a team at this very moment.
No, he hadn't played for a while.
I don't think he's going to have one. So you know what that means, John,
he
is
was flashing the gun around the freaking Wizards locker room.
Right, yes. Well, you know, so now he's got all this free time on his hand. And what does a guy like Gilbert Arenas, who's bored and can't think of anything to do and has a bunch of free time on his hand, what do? Oh, let me get on social media and stir everybody up with some shit. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, let me say something. That's all I got to do. I'm somebody's name. I got to say something.
Oh, my God. He goes on this insanely sexist rant about the WNBA. Oh, my God, John. I'm so glad you haven't heard this. I get to be the first to tell you.
Oh, boy.
All right. So, first off.
I hate him already.
First off, he puts up a video of these two hot blondes, and they're wearing thongs, and they're playing one-on-one basketball. All right?
Got it.
And then he...
Hang on a minute. Okay, I got it. She's hot. I like that.
Oh, you're looking at it. Oh, okay.
Okay, go ahead. I was getting in the moment there.
Okay, all right. So then he goes completely off his medication with the caption. He says, quote, "Now this is what America was hoping for when they announced the WNBA back in 1996. Not a bunch of chicks running around looking like cast members from Orange is the New Black. Don't get me wrong." He says, "Don't get me wrong. They have a few cutie pies, but there's a whole lot of bean pies running around." And,
and a bean pie?
Yeah, and then he says, if Skylar Diggins, and Skylar's really hot. She plays for the Tulsa Shock. But he says, if Skylar Diggins came out like this, "I don't care if she missed every layup. I'm a buy season tickets, and I don't even know where the fuck Tulsa is." And if that wasn't enough, then he says, "If you think this is sexist..." This is before he even got a chance to get put down. He gets right out in front of it, John.
Oh, of course. You got to own it.
He says, "If you think this is sexist, 9 times out of 10, you the ugly one, and we didn't pay to come see you play anyway." Well, okay, so then the WNBA and a bunch of their players, they put Gilbert on blast, of course. Like, okay, here's an example. Alina Delladonna from the Chicago Sky, she says, "Women were not put on this earth just for men to look at. We're people. We have a purpose. We are role models. I am an athlete first and foremost. Hashtag by Gilbert."
Okay.
So, okay. I agree with her on that. But Arenas... Okay, so then the next day, this was on Wednesday, then on Thursday, TMZ Sports gets a hold of Gilbert on FS1 just last night. This is Friday right now. And so they get him on and ask him if he'd like to apologize, John. And he says, "No, I'm not sorry for saying the league is packed with ugly women." And he firmly believes the only way to save the WNBA is by appealing to horny men. And then, John, this was the best part. you think you've heard it all already. Wait, this is the best part yet. Then he says, "I'm trying to figure out what I would be sorry about. So basically, all the ugly girls are mad. All the ugly ones want an apology from me for being ugly."
Dude, Donald Trump's listening to him going, "You know, this kid's got promise. Look at him as a cabinet position, maybe." Tom, this is now known on the internet as ugly shaming.
Oh, my.
Fucking ugly ass fat cow.
God.
You know, the WNBA, here's my impression of the guy who monitors the WNBA social media when Gilbert Arenas hit the tweet button. Ready?
Oh, hey. Hey, look, somebody mentioned us. Oh, hey, it's Gilbert Arenas. Oh, hey, look, he's holy crap, he's still going, come on. Get him talking. Keep him going. My God, this is the most famous person that's talked about us in 10 years.
And right now he's going,
hey, look, there's a podcast talking about this. Somebody get those guys on the phone.
I didn't even think about it like that.
WNBA.
Hey, look, we're relevant for a minute. Look. Hey, tell you what, who's playing tonight? The Tulsa Thunder Thighs? All right, get the ugly ones out there. Get it down to the coach. Put the ugly ones out there. Let's get Gilbert going. Send him a case of Courvoisier on us. Get him good and liquored up and watching the WNBA. We'll give him a new iPhone. Here you go. Sport, get at it.
Oh, get him one of those people that just sit there and they take everything, they type everything for him. All he just has to talk the whole game and somebody just keeps typing it for him.
Yeah, he's got his snifter at Courvoisier. He's shaking it at the TV. Look, that fat bitch can't even make a layup. Nobody gives you shit. Get some girl out there in a thong doing some gorilla dunking. That's what I want to see.
Oh, my God. And then people, and it's just scrolling. Twitter's just scrolling, and everybody's watching it live, and everybody's dying. And then they're going to say, well, he needs to go to rehab, and he needs therapy. And he's going to say, fuck you, I'm not sorry, and I ain't going to no rehab.
I'm going to go ahead and call it, Tom, because we have always given the advice that you never apologize. Gilbert Arenas is a listener. He's a listener. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Gilbert Arenas.
Oh, no. Oh, that really... I tell you, though, man, that was...
Just imagine what the WNHL must be hoping for.
He must be a... Hey, he must be a huge fan, though, of the Women's League. The lingerie. That's what he's talking about.
Right. Yo, I still got about $150 left from my career. I could invest now, you know.
I tell you, though, that was really, really insulting, though. That was about as disrespectful as it gets, man. I mean, seriously, he just went off on them. That's just bad.
Well, you know. Unfortunately, television is what saves sporting leagues. You know, I mean, they need to be on TV or they're just going to be a suckle at the teat of the NBA. Does the NBA fund them entirely? Because I can't see advertising doing it.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, Birkenstocks ads can only carry you so far. If you can sell, you know, like Dippity-Doo or hair gel, you can do all right at a WNBA game.
All right, well, we got to talk about Odell Beckham coming up next. This is good stuff.
Dad, it's so enlightened of you to take us to a WNBA game.
Yeah, well, nachos are nachos.
Bang Radio.
And now it's time for another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
Ugh, if I get one more card with other people's kids on them, I'm going to puke. Congratulations, Mrs. Johnson, you rented reindeer. I'm sure that didn't cost an arm and a leg. And look at these kids sweating in those Christmas outfits. You just know that picture was taken in July. Is that what the holidays are about? Torturing your kids? Paying for expensive Christmas symbols to don your holiday cards that no one wanted in the first place? And don't get me started on Christmas newsletters. I don't care if your 3-year-old memorized all the presidents. I'm unmarried and sad. Oh my God, I just had a breakthrough. I think I'll print that on my Christmas card. Merry Christmas. I'm unmarried and sad. And then I'll attach a picture of Jimmy and his fantasy football friends so everybody knows what I'm dealing with. Yeah, that's the spirit.
And that was another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
VOTech. VOTech.
For 10 years, VOTech has been a leader in website development and network solutions. Whether your business has an established website or are preparing to create something new, VOTech can handle every facet of your project. VOTech offers full website and portal design and creation services, including domain registration, site maintenance, dynamic programming, database administration, video streaming, and more. VOTech also offers full e-commerce and e-marketing development and management, as well as complete web hosting services. You can trust your web project to the professionals at VOTech.
VOTech.
If any of you are looking for any last-minute gift ideas for me, I have one. I'd like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight. I want him brought from his happy holiday slumber over there on Melody Lane with all the other rich people, and I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is! Hallelujah! Holy shit!
What up? This is Ludacris.
Let's run it, man. Get back.
Y'all don't know me like that.
You are listening to John and Tom on the Bang Radio.
I tell them all I want for Christmas is 2 gold front teeth and 10 karat diamonds on a fat gold wreath that I can wear around my neck. Get money and respect. Tell Santa Claus to bring a $10 million check so I can spread a little cheer. Fly a couple ears. Eat a little chicken. Drink a couple beers. Kick back and just chill like a player would do. Remix all the Christmas carols, then I play them for you. Luda, turn it up until I wake up all the neighbors. They say that I'm a nuisance, but I say they all some haters. Just because I'm poor, they always calling me a faker. And cause my Christmas tree's decorated in toilet paper. But little do they know, they about to see a show. Cause when they come up out the house, I'm gonna blast them with some snow. Frosty's never seen nothing quite like this. And St. Nick's never seen nothing quite like Chris. So, chestnuts roasting on the fire in the hills. But down below, we firing up the barbecue grills. Ice skating in the driveway, I'ma do it my way. Eggnog's got daddy swerving on the highway. Chains on the tires, ice up on the window. 10 degrees Fahrenheit, freezing as the wind blow. Help me take my boots off and my snowsuit off. Get up in the house and my nose is redder than Rudolph's. I think I need some help with the buckle on my belt. And if Santa doesn't show, I want his cookies and his milk. Tell him I need a jacket, new Jordans and an Xbox. New suits for church and a couple pairs of dress socks. Stuff my stocking with Jolly Ranchers and candy canes. Invite my aunties and uncles, let's do the family thing. Meanwhile, I'm hoping Santa got my wish list so I can wake up to a very Merry Christmas.
Oh yeah, I hear the sleigh bells ringing and the jingle bells rock.
Santa never sings the jingle bells on my block. I hear he's making that list, checking the thing twice. I guess it's probably cause I've been naughty, not nice. But I'ma straighten up my act, get up on track, make a couple bucks and buy mama a Cadillac. And then maybe Santa Claus will come around my way so all the kids on my block can look up and say, hey,
come Santa Claus. Come Santa Claus, down Santa Claus
Tread,
way.
Tread Claus.
Manning now in a shotgun set on a first and 10 from the Giants. Manning back to throw. Steps up, deep ball over the middle, wide open, Odell Beckham Jr. He's across midfield, Dolphins in his rearview mirror. 10, 5, touchdown Giants.
Wait a minute.
84 yards.
Wait a minute, I didn't even notice that the first time I listened to it. He tried to say rearview mirror and he said rear mew veer. Hold on, let me play that again.
Manning now in a shotgun set on a first and 10 from the Giants. Manning back to throw. Steps up, deep ball over the middle, wide open, Odell Beckham Jr. He's across midfield. Dolphins in his rearview mirror.
He does.
Oh, you see what happens when you get excited on the radio?
People think it's easy.
Huh? Right.
People think it's easy.
Rear mirror.
I'll tell you what, you can't even look at a script and read as fast as they do the hockey announcers.
Oh,
holy
I know.
Shit.
Yeah, right?
No way. And they don't make a mistake. They're ridiculous.
All right. Did you see that touchdown? The one they took to lead there?
Yeah.
Okay. Man, when he cut, that was so, he is something else. He looked like he's going to run a quick slant. Well, it wasn't really a slant. He came out, he looked like he was going to cut in over the middle. Man, he turned his head. He looked right real fast, turned his head as far to the right as it would go. Yeah. And man, when he did that, just that look, he didn't even move that way. He just turned his head real fast that way, but his body went left. His head went right, and so did the safety. His body went left, split the safety in the corner, and Manning saw him, man, and that was it. Nobody was going to catch him.
No, you're not catching him. Even when you beat him like the Redskins did, he still makes a miracle catch that makes your team look bad in highlight reels every single week for the rest of my life.
And I can't tell you how many times, just from that spot, I rewound, like 3 seconds there, just to watch that head turn and his body move the opposite direction and that safety bite on that, and it was just unbelievable. And because he's not good enough, he's trying to become ambidextrous. All right. He's
really
he
practices those one-handed catches. You see him in the pre-games of Monday Night Football, and I think before that game.
Yeah,
they show him in the end zone doing these ridiculous acrobatic catches with one hand, just so he can practice.
Right,
that shit.
And he's practicing with both hands. And and the other thing he's been doing, he's doing as many things as he This is interesting. I think if you wanted to become ambidextrous, this is the way to do it. He does as many things as he possibly can with his left hand. Like, he tries to write as much as he can with it, brush his teeth with it. And, you know, because of this, because we were doing this and I read this story, I actually did brush my teeth with my opposite hand. And, dude, it's not easy.
Yeah, I know.
It is not.
It's a whole other person over there.
So I'm like, I'm going to see how many, I'm going to just try to remember to do it with my opposite hand every day and see if I can become a Anyway, he's also been playing around with footballs in practice, like we said, with his offhand. He swings a baseball bat, and he's been doing it. Left-handed. Mm-hmm. He's even kicking footballs with his left foot just to help his body's balance. And he wants.
Is that how he got a penalty a couple weeks ago? Didn't he kick a football after he dropped a pass or some shit?
Yeah.
I was just showing you I could do it with my left foot.
The dude's amazing, man. But now he wants to be even better. I mean, why not? He's phenomenal. Oh, wait. Hold on. The phone's ringing. Hey, Bang Radio Hour. What's up?
Hey, Mr. Top. Merry Christmas.
Freddy, Merry Christmas, man. How you doing?
Hey, we doing good, man. Happy holiday to everybody over there.
Yeah, Freddy.
I'll tell you what, I'm doing real good. I am full of the mule time spit.
You're what?
I just be full of the mule tide spit.
Oh, mule tide spirit.
I having such a good time here this Christmas season, because I'll be a celebrity gift napper down here at the Macy's at the West Park Shopping Village.
Wait,
down at the Macy's. And you want somebody to nap up on your premise, right? So you come on down to gift napping rest, and a celebrity like me will nap your premise for you.
Okay, well, all right, Macy's. You know, I always go Christmas shopping for my wife at Macy's. But when you said celebrity gift wrapper, you're a celebrity gift wrapper. What other celebrities are there?
Well, it's just me. I'm just a gift napper-sopiate, but... You know, it sounds better like, you know, if I say I'm a celebrity gift napper, because, you know, hey, you know, just like 30 miles over to the west is where the Viking Stadium used to be. So I could say, look, I used to play football over there.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, if you come on over down to the white flap in the mall, and you can come and see me, and I'll wrap your present.
Oh, all right. Well, I thought you were calling in about Odell Beckham for some reason.
That's the point there, Tom. I've been listening to, and that's why I'll be called, because I'll be also ambidextrous.
Oh, you're ambidextrous, too?
I'm ambidextrous. I can do things with both hands. Back when I was at college in Mississippi State, my coach taught me how to use both hands when I try to catch football, like the Odell pass, the biscuit, Pappy O'Daniel. All right, and, you know, learning how to catch a ball with both hands, well, frankly, I never learned how to catch it because I was playing the defense. But it helped me later on in my life. You know, like, I got drafted. Right? I played for the Redskins, and I played for the Viking, you know, and I could get beat and miss tackles with both hands. And now it helped me in my new career as a Gip Rapisopiate to be able to use both hands at the same time.
Right. Yeah, it would, wouldn't it?
It could. I mean, see, like, I could use a scissor with one hand, and I could get a piece of scalp staple with the other, right? And I can use one hand to center up a Prebys on big piece of gift paper, and with my other hand, I could hold a flap for Sheila so she could tape it. But, you know, does she ever do that for me? No, you bitch.
Well, it sounds like you found your calling, Freddie.
Well, maybe. But look, I say she a bitch, but she ain't really a bitch. She ain't ambidextrous like me, and that's why she can't do it. She just ain't ambidextrous. I am more qualified to be the gift rapper, and that's why I'm thinking, you know, come New Year, Mr. Gomez probably going to give me the promotion up to perfume spray.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Because I'm an ambidextrous. I can spray sample with left hand and with right hand.
All right. Well, that sounds great, Freddie. Congratulations.
Dips be Stepson.
All right.
Ma'am, this be in the ocean sprayed by the fabulous snake. I'm an ambidextrous, Tom, and now I've begun to see me talking with you with my right hand, and now I've begun to hang up on my left hand because break be over.
Well, Freddie, you have yourself a very Merry Christmas. You call whenever you want, man.
Happy holiday, Tom. I hope you have a good New Year, and if you need a gift wrap, come on down to see Freddie.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Freddie. He's ambidextrous, Freddie Smooth.
He is a gift-wrapping fool.
He is a gift is what he is.
Shit, dude's been out of the league and been on this show for... He might as well make it a career being on our show.
Well, every time we talk to him, he's got a different job. Maybe this is the one.
That's because he's ambidextrous.
Well, you know, this one's only seasonal, so I don't know what he's going to do next.
He's used to that, I guess. He gets his game day check, and that's it.
Right.
Oh, well.
Did you catch that Bengals-Steelers game Sunday?
I saw what happened to Andy Dalton. It was on at the same time I was watching the Redskins play. But I saw what happened to Andy Dalton making a tackle. My God, his thumb looked like somebody's foot.
Man, it is amazing. You know, and you've watched it happen. I've watched it happen to my team all year long. But how one play, all of a sudden, deep in the season, one play can change your entire season. Bam. Just like that. Okay, you talk about him making the tackle, but did you see why he had to make the tackle?
I didn't see. I mean, I think I saw a replay of the interception, but I think what happened was I heard, here's the play Andy Dalton got hurt on, and I turned around to look at it, and he was already diving in to make the tackle. So I didn't actually see the interception.
Oh, well, it was the back, you know, it was one of those little deals where the back moves forward just a little bit and turns around, and he shovel passes it to him.
Right.
And that, he did it, man, and that giant defensive lineman just stepped in front of it and intercepted it and came right at him, and he had no choice but to tackle him.
That's great.
Oh, my God, it was unbelievable.
Kimo Van Olhoff and was yelling his head off. Yeah! Yeah!
Right.
So,
did you hear Pac-Man Jones beforehand?
Oh, yeah, I did. I heard what Pac-Man Jones had to say, and I think didn't he record this?
Yeah,
right before the game.
Right.
I'm sitting here looking at the thing on ESPN. I guess Pittsburgh got all gangsters. Mike Tomlin tell his team to shut the fuck up and play football because ain't nothing going to happen to 5-5 on the field or off the field. Dig that. Y'all want to go report, so report that, bitches.
We don't have time for all that.
Pac-Man, when you were sitting on the bench during the football game, were you trying to actually crane your neck higher so that you could see when Andy Dalton was hurt, or were you just sitting there chatting with your mates?
Bitches.
The Steelers are gangster.
Oh, wait a minute. Somebody wants to interrupt.
That's why men cry for women. That's why.
Oh, God, women. Jesus.
Women. Can I slow down to honor a woman?
I think he meant to do that during the WNBA segment. I don't know why Ray has to jump in like that. But.
Oh, Gilbert Arenas is like, no, Ray, you don't want to be playing that shit here. There ain't nothing here but fat cows. That's my man, cries for the Women's National Basketball Association. Can I slow it down and maybe find somebody that's even remotely attractive?
Yeah, so anyway, I don't know what the hell got Adam Jones all riled up. He said something about all the Steelers were thugs. Mike Tomlin needs to, you know.
They had a fight before the game.
There was
a fight before the kickoff.
So
there was a fight in the warm-ups. It was just like a couple of years ago. I was talking to you on the phone about this earlier. Remember Joey Porter?
Yes.
Insulted. I can't remember the wide receiver's name. Chris Henry's mother's all kinds of shit. They had to be separated.
Right.
Right. Well, there was the same kind of deal. There was a fight. While the teams were out on the field stretching.
And then there was there were the two guys that, I think it was a receiver and a DB, they got into the slap fest. It reminded me of Andre Rison and Deion Sanders.
Deion's watching it on CBS. Slap him. Yeah, right there. Slap him.
Hit him
with your fingers.
I taught him all of that.
That's right. I told him, look, when you hit him with your fingernails. Scratch him.
I thought that was always, again, the dumbest thing ever. Why would you hit someone wearing a helmet? Why, and a face mask? Why would you do that?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I have no idea. I guess it's along the same lines as why do baseball players all run out for a big brawl and none of them think to bring a bat?
I think they just want to do it because they know, because if they rip the helmet off and hit them, they're going to get suspended.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean?
So. Absolutely. Now, if you go ripping your own helmet off and start swinging, you're an idiot, and you're also a brave motherfucker. I've seen people do that before. They regret it instantly. But I can remember, I'll tell you what, here, Tom, here's an old man moment, speaking of the helmet being off. I remember once back in the 70s when Cliff Branch caught a long touchdown pass, and before he got to the sidelines, he took his helmet off, and they knocked him unconscious, smacking him on the fucking head. They thought he had, you know, because they're all just reaching over, clanging on his head like he would have his helmet on. They knocked him out.
So now we're gonna get to see what AJ McCarron can do. He's national champion. I mean, Alabama, SEC. He should be able to just light it up, right?
Well, who do they have this week?
They got the 49ers.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm not sure, because the 49ers have shown themselves to be capable of beating a team like Cleveland. And is that what Cincinnati is without A.J. Dalton? I mean, without Andy Dalton?
I don't know. Well, I don't know. We'll see.
Is Eifert going to play?
I just read about him. I think it's up in the air.
Well, let me ask you this. If they were going to wear stupid-looking color rush uniforms, would my television have to have its bulb replaced like I did it last night after the damn Rams game?
The ketchup mustard bowl?
Dude, I think that the official designation of the color of the Rams uniform was called Ridiculo.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, that was a hell of a football game, though.
Well, anyway, I think A.J. McCarron might play really well against the 49ers, but here in a couple weeks when he's got to play Denver's defense, it's going to be a much different story.
Well, yeah, but then at the same time, Denver might be playing their own schmuck at quarterback. This dude, Osweiler's not showing too well lately. He's looking like the young quarterback.
Are you kidding? I think he looks great.
Well, now, he hasn't looked too good the last couple of weeks. Their defense has been carrying him. Well, who did they play last week? Oh, I can't remember. Oh, Oakland. Oakland had a minus 12 yards last week.
Did you see how many drops the receivers had in that game?
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. No, I didn't watch the whole game. I'm watching it on Red Zone, so it's going back and forth. I don't get to see the full drives and shit.
Demetrius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders had a total together of 8 drops, and Thomas had a fumble. If you watch this guy, he's unbelievable. He's 6'8". I've never seen a quarterback like he's 6'8", 250 pounds. He can see over everything. He's got such a huge advantage. You know,
Well, this is the one thing that you lose when you're watching Red Zone, I guess. You don't get to see that kind of stuff. All you get to see is the close-in stuff.
Right. Now, who they got this week?
Who, the Broncos?
Yeah, oh, they're at Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, yeah. All Pittsburgh right. Is going to maul them, I think.
I don't know, man. Pittsburgh gives up a lot of passing yards.
I'll tell you what. I don't think Ben Roethlisberger cares about your badass defense. I just don't think he does. I don't think that any of those receivers give a damn about your defense.
Well, that's going to be fun to watch. Just like we're looking forward to Josh Norman versus Odell Beckham. I'm definitely looking forward to Denver secondary versus the Steelers passing game. That's going to be fun to watch, man.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. And their pass rush, because I always like when Ben Roethlisberger has to face a big pass rush.
Yeah.
Because like I said, he's like watching the Nature Channel. He's like watching that one lone Cape Buffalo out in the middle of the goddamn. Fucking in the goddamn Serengeti getting yanked around by 10 lions, and he still stands up and throws the pass. I love watching that shit.
Is DeMarcus Ware healthy? Is he playing now or no? Oh. Well, anyway.
He didn't play last week. I know that.
All right. Well, let's move on. The Browns finally won a game. And that that put an end to their 7-game losing streak, man.
And it should put an end to their quarterback controversy.
Well, it was the Niners, you know.
I know it's the Niners. Hey, you know what? A.J. McCarron's got to go beat the Niners now.
Right.
Right. So, you know, Johnny Football did it.
Right.
All right, so let's see A.J. do it. Mm. I'm a fan of Johnny Football. I got to admit, I am. I think that the Browns are stupid for the way they've been treating him.
I'm a homer. Unfortunately, I'm a Browns fan.
Right, Bernie, right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, you know, prior to the 7-game losing streak, Manziel got benched. And when he did, you know, oh, God, I thought it was the most ridiculous thing, John. I thought it was all so stupid because he was in a bar on his bye week in Texas having some champagne, singing along to some rap song.
To a very clean video. There was nothing going on in there that was anything wrong.
Except for him drinking, because he had been in I think Mike Pettin, this guy's got to go, man. He's horrible.
It's not him.
Oh, it's...
I mean, he's horrible, but it's not him. Well, they listen to their fans. How many other teams have you ever heard of that had a sit-down with an idiot that wears a dog mask? Right? They listen to their fans. So when their fans on social media, let's remember, on social media, everybody is effing perfect. And if you're not fucking perfect, we don't want you. So what they're going to do is, because of the way that the fans, oh, look, he's drinking. I had some guy on Twitter telling me that, you know, for the money they pay, they should be able to expect that he's... Bobby Lane could never play today. You know that?
Yeah. Oh, I know.
You could list off the number of quarterbacks who could not play today.
I'm not sure on the miscommunication here, but if we get the wider view, we have a collision between two and three inside here, and we have two offensive receivers right exactly in the same spot.
Dude, do you know who Manziel reminds me of? Fran Tarkenton, and I'm not kidding. He reminds me of, because he's not RG3 type, you know, gazelle, takes a cut and goes. He's not the Kaepernick that can run a million miles an hour and just takes off and runs. He's the guy that'll scramble around behind the line of scrimmage until somebody comes open. He'll make a play.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so he's a freaking loose cannon. If he wises up like, what is he, 23?
Oh, yeah. He's so young, man.
Right, so what, 23-year-olds are supposed to be fucking perfectly mature right now? Just shut up. The dude can play some football. Do you want to win football games? Let him play.
Well, Bill the Crying Browns Fan, he got on 92.3 The Fan. Of course, this week he's probably singing the praises of Johnny Manziel.
Probably not. Well, yeah, he probably is. Yeah, this is from a couple weeks ago.
He gets on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, and he gets emotional.
All right, let's talk to Bill. He's next up on The Fan. Bill.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Bill, how are you, bud?
Okay, first of all...
This is Bill. Remember Bill?
Oh, Bill. Yeah, Gatorade boy.
Gatorade boy and bull, first, and bull crap.
Calm down.
Yeah, all right.
Now, first of all, I got to apologize to Mr. Fox.
Why?
My coach called me Gatorade boy, and I consider that a term of endearment.
I know what you guys... What? He's like the water boy.
His coach called him Gatorade boy, and he liked it.
Gatorade boy.
He thinks he's special. He's just like Adam Sandler in Waterboy. He thinks he's special with his silly foosball.
Would you like the G2 or the G3?
Gatorade boy.
A term of endearment. Oh, my God. You're the water boy. Shut up.
Oh, hell. They called me jockstrap boy, too, in the locker room.
And I know they meant it very affectionately.
That's right.
All right, wait a minute. Let's continue.
Thought about it.
I love you too. Okay. I do.
It didn't mean anything bad by it.
Bill, can we be friends?
Yeah, I want to be friends.
Okay, me too.
First of all, I've been a Browns fan all of my life, and when Patton says play like a Brown, that means you are the elite. You're no jerk. You don't go out with prostitutes. You don't go drinking in bars.
You don't go drinking in bars? Does he know what team he's rooting for here? Does this guy have
the elite? Clearly he does not. He has no idea who he's rooting for. You are a Brown. You play like a Brown. I hate to break it to you there, Gatorade boy, but that's exactly what they're doing. When you see the Ravens block a kick on the last play of the game and take it back for a fucking touchdown, that's the Browns!
Hasn't that happened to them like 3 weeks in a row? They've had a block returned? Like 3 weeks in a row, I think, maybe?
Oh, my God.
Look, I'm sure. And that's what this guy is. He's not a Brown. He never will be a Brown. I don't care what the record is. I mean, Gary Collins, Otto Graham, Frank Ryan, Brian Sipes, Pozar. I mean, I'm talking about guys who are not only good, they were great.
Oh, yeah. That dude started back in the 30s. He started pulling up some guy that your great-grandfather watched.
I'll tell you who's this Cleveland Brown, is that Stinky Magoo. He was the best quarterback/kicker.
Holy shit, he pulled up Kozar.
He's not a Brown.
He's not a Brown, John.
Let me tell you. You want to show me something, Johnny Manziel? You get out on the field with a goddamn nose full of whiskey like Bernie Kozar could.
Oh, my God.
Let me tell you something. When his daughter gets to be 22 years old, if she makes half as good a porn movie as Bernie Kosar's daughter did, I'll eat my Brown's hat. Remember when Brian Sipe, he was the greatest Brown, he threw that interception in the playoffs to the Raiders right there behind the corner of the end zone.
You're emotional right now, huh?
Yeah, I am. This is my team.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
I'm not going to have a moron come in there, some drunken bum who thinks he knows it all, doesn't bother reading the playbook. I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah.
Well, but I saw at the Pittsburgh game, and you played football. You understand what I'm talking about. If somebody took my quarterback and took their face mask and turned him around, that guy would not finish the game.
Bill, I feel your pain, man.
Bill, good job out of you, man.
We feel your pain, man.
We feel your pain, Bill. Oh, my God. That's unreal.
Hey, that little punk thinks he's going to come in here and I would never play some football.
Oh, I love fans, man. Love
Dude,
fans.
He has to call in some more. That's great.
I want him on our show.
He is the best because I'll tell you what, if he wants to watch a guy who can play football, Johnny Manziel can play football. Am I crazy when I say this? I'm like super in his corner.
Johnny's corner?
Yes.
Oh.
I think the dude can play football. I think he's not the same type of quarterback that's the typical what you would call athletic quarterback right now.
He
doesn't just take off and run. The dude runs around behind the line of scrimmage, and before you know it, there's somebody wide open. He plays freaking Madden.
You know who he reminds me of? I mean, I know you said Fran. He reminds me of a young Drew Brees.
That could be. Has he got a big spot on his face?
Jesus. All right, but anyway, you said you think he can be a good quarterback. So does Michael Irvin. Listen to this.
People in Dallas, they want to hear a great story of redemption. So absolutely, I subscribe to, man, if we can get Johnny Manziel. Go look at the 12-step program. They make room for a relapse. The relapse is where you really learn that, hey, I'm no more a part of this. So it's all part of the process. Absolutely, I would love Johnny Manziel.
I am an analyst, and my job is to analyze football and make comments.
Michael's a good boy. You ask him to get the fans all riled up for my eventual acquisition of Johnny Manziel, and he jumps right on board.
That's funny, man.
You know what? When he becomes a Cowboys quarterback, I'm going to hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's going to become the Cowboys quarterback, and I'm going to hate it.
All right, speaking of loving the fans, real quick here.
All right.
When it comes to football, guys tend to know more about players and stats than that's what happens when you dedicate 80% of your free time to something. But I'm talking about guys know more about it than women when it comes to who plays middle linebacker for this team and wide receiver for that team.
Don't waffle on it, Tom. Just say what you're thinking. Those bitches can't hold a jock.
No. But here's the question. Are women actually better fans? All right, because there's a new survey came out from vividseats.com of 1,000 people who've been to at least one NFL game, found that women are more likely to wear team colors when they go.
Because it matches everybody in the place. Dude, it goes with this and that.
75% said they do compared to just 55% of men. It seemed to me like everybody had team colors on at every game I've been to. You know what I mean?
Women coordinate, right? They want to wear the team colors because, for one, it's the team colors and I'm going to look festive and it's going to look just like this is the event that I'm going to. I mean, I'm not doubting that they're good fans and I'm just messing around here. So all of you goddamn Nazi bitches, shut up.
Well... And then women are more likely to cheer at a game. Women,
sure, why not?
Yeah, women are more likely to wear face paint to a game. And
it's
women,
called makeup. Come on.
Women are more likely to tailgate in the parking lot. And they're just as likely to stand the entire game.
Well, it's because they have to pee. And you know why they cheer more than anybody else? Because they don't understand.
It's second down and six. Yay! Yay!
Now, John, you know my wife's listening to this podcast.
I know. I'm actually just turning it on thick because I said, why not? I'm just going to go the whole misogyny route this show.
All right. We'll just call you Gilbert.
That's right.
All right. Now, men are more likely to boo the opposing team. Women don't boo.
No, women don't boo, except for that one chick from from Denver that got all drunk about Peyton Manning and his vagina. But, yeah, women are more likely to turn around to the boyfriend. He didn't mean it. Stop.
Now, just about half of us will drink beer at an NFL game.
Yeah.
More than 10% of fans don't eat or drink anything at the stadium. And if you've seen the prices, I can understand why.
Philadelphia comes in. I saw a thing about, I don't know, maybe a month ago, the highest beer prices per ounce in the league. Philadelphia is like $11 an ounce.
More than Dallas. Wow.
No, I'm not $11. It's like $8.80 an ounce. Yeah, Dallas came in at around $7.75 an ounce.
Wow.
What you're paying. Woo!
All right, and then and this was one of the most interesting stats, I thought, that almost 40% of NFL fans root for a team that their parents did not root for while they were growing up.
Fuck you, Dad. I hate the 49ers. Go Rams! That's why.
Dude, all my dad ever does is talk about the goddamn 49ers. Joe Montana and Steve Youngman. Fuck him. Steven Jackson.
Well, I raised my son right, and I love him.
I don't know about all that. I mean, he's a nice kid. Let's face it.
He's a great Cowboys fan.
Well, see, that's where we differ on whether you went right or wrong. Some people are real proud of their kids for anything they do.
All right,
I'm just teasing.
He's listening too.
I know Tyler's big enough to come in and kick my ass.
Yeah, we won't even talk about the Dallas Washington game.
No, let's please not talk about that, because you know what? I expected it. You know? I expected it. Everybody was thinking, oh, Redskins are going to kick their ass because they're at home, they haven't lost at home, and Kirk Cousins is hot, and everything's great, and you know, well, you like that, and the Cowboys haven't won with their, yeah. And you know what? I have seen that sort of scenario play out in this fucking rivalry more times than I can count. Not necessarily those exact situations, but one time or another, somebody's got a heavy chance to beat the hell out of the other one, and it always goes the other way.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't even going to talk about the Cowboys at all in this podcast, except for one thing, and it's only because of what Jerry Jones said, and it's about going out and playing this weekend, and he said,
we'll go balls out with Dez.
We'll go balls out with Dez.
That's right. Dez's balls are going to be hanging out this weekend.
Jerry Jones!
So, oh, hell, come on down. There's your Christmas present right there.
Who is America's team? Dallas Cowboys.
That's right.
That's right. And then, like, you bring that big, fat, ugly idiot down here, too, and I'll let him see Dez's balls on a 60-yard wide television.
Hey, man, it's the middle of December, and the Dallas Cowboys are still alive for a playoff spot.
God. Dude, the AFC South is going to be decided between TJ Yates and Hasselbeck.
Right, and the NFC East is going to be decided between Matt Cassel and Kirk Cousins.
Man, aren't you dreaming? The Eagles look, you know what, I don't care whether anybody wants to say they beat the Patriots by accident. That's not possible. Although I will say in that game, watching Tom Brady catch that 35-yard pass was great. That was like watching a goose try to take off.
I know.
Yeah, watch a goose run and try to take off and fly. That's what it was looking like to me.
Oh, hey, real quick, on that note, let me get another dig in on the Browns. You know, they gave that big fat contract to wide receiver Dwayne Bowe from Kansas City.
Yeah,
yeah.
Who can't catch a freaking cold.
Tom Brady's got more receiving yards this year than he does.
Dude, I remember Andy Reid at the beginning of last preseason, all right, in 2014, saying that Bo, the webbing and the muscles between his fingers are so ripped up that he can't even grip the ball anymore. And you can see it. He can't catch the damn thing. It goes right through his hands.
Well, he was smart for getting paid before anybody found that out, wasn't he?
Yeah, Gary Barnage got paid, and now he's probably going to be going, what the hell did I just do? It's like waking up after a bender, isn't it? Holy shit. Where'd all this money come from?
He's actually a really good player for Cleveland. That guy.
Yeah, I know. That's what it's like for him, though. He's going to wake up with a barrel full of money. He's going to roll over and see the Browns. Oh, my God.
All right, man. We got to wrap this up. All right. I hate it because we haven't been on for several weeks, and I hate when that happens. I don't like it. It was just one of them things. It just, first we had Thanksgiving, then I couldn't do the week after that, and then you missed the week after that, and here we are. And now next week, you got Christmas Eve is Thursday, so I'm going to have to try to have it. We're going to have to try and do the show on Wednesday. Otherwise, I don't know how it's going to happen if we don't.
Or Christmas Eve is Thursday?
Yes.
Oh, then I can definitely do it Wednesday.
Right. That's why I said we have to do it Wednesday if we're going to do it.
Yeah. Because Christmas Eve is usually the day I go and visit all my family and everything like that.
So it may be a little warm Christmassy show, shorter than usual, but we'll try to get one in for you.
Hey, man, if it was this much fun, what do you want?
Right. All right. Well, if we don't talk to you before Christmas. I hope everybody has a great holiday. And if you don't celebrate Christmas, well, then just have a nice couple of weeks.
Merry Christmas.
You too, man. We'll do it again next time.
Later.
Listening to the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
You're not a loser because you dress up in shoulder pads with spikes on them. You're a loser because you like the Raiders.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Let me inhale it all in one more time.
Yes, ma'am, still yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, still yes, sir. Pull your pants up around your waist. I don't care if I'm your mom or not.
Yeah, they still have Tom Brady, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick.
The last time I cried over football is when Tom Brady got hurt, and those were tears of joy. Your coach is a cheater, your rings are a lie, you back up from Michigan.
We care about the small people.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag.
Oh, found one of our new Vauxhall Griffin editions.
Yes. What comes as standard?
Standard? Well, alloy wheels, sat-nav, aircon, DAB radio, Bluetooth, smartphone projection and USB connection.
Wow. Is that everything?
Sorry, forgot the colour touchscreen.
Buy a new Griffin edition, Adam, Astra, Corsa or Mokka X Plus and get a whole host of features as standard. The Griffin edition range. All Griffin, no bull. Visit your nearest retailer now. Vauxhall, British brand since 1903. Participating retailers only. Limited units while stocks last.
We've created unlimited data plans for your business because one minute you're the receptionist.
Hello, how can I help?
The logistics manager.
Okay, lift at your end. That's it now, to me.
The new business consultant.
Will do. I'll pop over and give you a quote.
And you've still got to make the tea. Your business doesn't have limits, so why should your data allowance? New unlimited data plans from Vodafone Business. The future is exciting. Ready?
Max download upload speed apply to data. Coverage may vary. Terms at vodafone.co.uk/terms.